Morning.
If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to the book of John, chapter 14. It's a very familiar piece of scripture. Going to be a reading from verse 1, chapter 14, down through verse 11. And this is Christ speaking not only to his disciples, but he's speaking to all of the elect. He says here in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet have thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. The title of this message is Comfort for a Troubled Heart. In the preceding chapter, the Lord had told the disciples many things that they could not understand. And it was hard for them to understand. You have to understand that they had been with the Lord for 3.5 years. They had followed him. They had listened to him preach. They had listened to him do miracles, do great miracles, bring people back from the life. And they truly have faith in him. They loved him. And they'd left their homes, as I said. They'd left their jobs. And they was going to follow him. They wanted to follow him, and some of them even understood. And they had a thinking that he was going to be their king, and that he was going to set up an earthly kingdom, and that Israel one day would be back in their glory days, like it was when David was king and when Solomon was king, and that they would come out from under the Roman rule. But they find out that that's not the case, but they had so much faith in him. If you would, keep your place here, but look at John 6 real quick. Chapter 6. This is how much faith and how much love they had for him. Chapter 6, verse 65. Chapter 6, verse 65 through 69. He had been preaching to a multitude of people. And he said, therefore say, I come unto you, but no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, he looked at them and he said, well, will you all go away too? Look what Peter says right here. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. If you will, go back to your text. Then he tells them some things that it brings grief to them, it brings pain to them, it brings suffering to them. He tells them things that they do not understand. Even though he had been teaching to them for 3.5 years, there was a lot of things that he would say that they really didn't understand. He said, destroy this temple and I'll build it back in 3 days. He was talking about his crucifixion and resurrection. They didn't really understand that. But he tells them that one of their own is going to betray him. One that had been with him and with them for 3.5 years was actually going to turn him in to the high priest, and they would come and get him. And then he tells them that he tells them that all of you in the book of Matthew, he says all of you will be offended of me, and they couldn't understand that. But Matthew 26:31 says, then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd. He's talking about his crucifixion there. And the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. And then he told them that he was leaving, and where he was going, they could not follow. He was going back home. He was going back to his Father. He was going to heaven after the crucifixion. And then Peter, being the person that he was, he said, Lord, I can't even follow you where you're going. If you will, right there at chapter 14, look at the last two verses of chapter 13, just above 14. It's verse 37 and 38. And this had to break Peter's heart. I mean, you know, he was a big, husky man, a fisherman, and a strong will, outspoken. But Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you, for thou sake. Look what Jesus says to him. Jesus answers him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow until thou hast denied me 3 times. What he's saying, before the rooster crows, Peter, you're going to deny me to my face 3 times. Not once, not twice, but 3 times you're going to deny me. And whenever Peter said that he would lay down his life for him, I believe he really meant it in his heart that he would. But he says, if you notice right, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that means for a surety, it's going to happen, you know. Like I said, he told them that where he went, that they could not follow. But, you know, we all know that if we've been around for any length of time, the book of Job, it says, he that is born of a woman, his days is few and full of trouble. And what we have a tendency to do as human beings is, you know, the pride that is in us, and things come our way, things that we don't understand. We face sickness, we face pain, we face grief, and too many times we don't look at where we can get the comfort. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Learn of me, and I will give you rest for your souls. He says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. But all too often we try to fix it ourselves. But we need to know that he loves us. He could see the pain on these disciples. He was God in the flesh. He was Almighty God in the flesh. He knew what was in their hearts. He knew what they were going through. And he wanted to assure them and give them assurance that everything's going to be all right. And that's what he begins to do here. He knew that their faith was so weak, and he sets out to strongly encourage them to exercise their faith in him. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe in me." You know, and then he says here in John 10:30, he flat outs and says, "Me and my Father, I and my Father, we are one. We are one." And then in Galatians 1:19, the Lord says, For it pleased the Father that in him," talking about Christ Jesus our Lord, "should all the fullness dwell." And then in Galatians 2:9, the Father says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body." In other words, he's saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Verse 2, it says right here in verse 2 of the text, "In my Father's house." You could say there, "In my Father's house," you could say in heaven, "or many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you." And look here, he promises him, "I go to prepare a place for you. But where I am, you'll be also." You know, and so he's letting them know it's not a permanent separation. You know, this life right here, it's just for a while. It says that life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while and it's gone. But you know, and the things that we go through and the things that we face, it's nothing that our Lord and our Savior didn't face. You know, that's one of the greatest blessings that we have. We have so many, all spiritual blessings and all good gifts come from God from above. But you know, we have a king, we have a prophet, and we have a high priest, Jesus Christ our Lord. But what blesses my heart is that I have a high priest that knows the feelings of my infirmities. There ain't a thing that we go through that he hasn't experienced himself, you know. And that blesses our heart. But he says it's not a permanent situation. And he says there's many dwelling places. In other words, all the people that God placed in Christ Jesus before the world began, he's telling them there's plenty of room for everyone. Well, you know, how many is everyone? If you will, hold your place here, but turn to Revelation 7. And we talk about, what we're talking about here is God's elect. What we're talking about here is the bride of Christ. Revelation 7. And this is hard for me to imagine. But Revelation 7, verses 9 and 10. Listen to what he says. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man can number." No man. Our Lord Jesus Christ will have the preeminence in all things. But it says, "of number no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sat upon the throne." And it's going to be a place of love. It's going to be a place of joy. It's going to be a place of no sin. That's something that blesses my heart. You know, as we live in this world that we live in, we see not only the sin that is without, but for the elect of God, it's the sin that is within that really bothers us. And as long as we have this body, we've got two natures within us, and we have to deal with it. But the Bible says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is of the world." But Lord, here there going to be enough. His blood is sufficient to save all who comes. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then it says, "Of the government and peace, there shall be no end." That's beyond our imagination. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And what he's doing, he's getting ready. He's getting ready to go to Calvary. And you know, he's getting ready to go to Calvary. He knows exactly what he's going to face. He knows the torture he's going to face. He knows the crucifixion. He's going to have to hang on that tree for 9 hours. The pain he's going to go through. And he could come down at any moment because he is God in the flesh. And yet, is he concerned about that? No. He's concerned about his disciples. He's concerned about the apostles. He's concerned about his elect. But peace of heart comes from whenever we truly put our trust in Christ Jesus our Lord. When things in this life come our way unexpected, you know, we don't realize sometimes how fragile we are. Every one of us, we think we're going to hear some sermons here today, and then we're going to leave and go get us something good to eat and maybe go home and rest a while or eat something at the house and come back this evening and hear a good sermon from Gabe. But not a person in this room has a guarantee of that. But God does. He knows. And he is in the absolute control of everything. Nothing happens without his permissive and his directive will. Redemption is through Christ. Salvation is in Christ. And heaven is to be with Christ. It says that here that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And when you think of the Godhead, the three persons of God, God is a spirit, and the revelation of God is Christ. All the revelation that God gives a man is Christ. And all that a man needs is Christ, because Christ is Almighty God in the flesh. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's wonderful. And then you don't have to turn, but I want to turn over here. Here's something that every Christian, every believer, they think about. Or I know I do, and I know you all do too. It's in the book of Titus. Sometimes I have a time finding it. It's just right after Timothy. But I love the second chapter there. It says, listen to this, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. No one's without excuse, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. And we do that out of love. Everything is out of love. But look at this, looking for that blessed hope. He's coming back. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have so much to look forward to. That's why he tells us to set our affections on things above and not on things of this world. For we are dead and our life is hid with Christ and God, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And then verse 4 and 5, it says here in our text, and wherever I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not wherever thou goest, and how can we know the way? You know, the Lord had spoke to them again and again that he was going to die, he must be buried, he must go to the tomb, and he'd be raised again, and but by faith that they would inherit eternal life. And he often spoke to them, but their knowledge was imperfect. But we must realize, though, they didn't have this right here. We've got the full revelation in our hands. They didn't. But we've got the full revelation of our hands. And we know how exactly, Lord, that this is the absolute truth of God. And in verse 6, we read, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For me personally, that's one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. Jesus didn't say, I'm a way. I hear a movie star say there's many ways to God. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the only way. There is no other way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we look at these right here, there's seven great I ams that are in John's gospel. And real quickly, like I like to read them, they're speaking of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Lord said, I am the bread of life. He said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the door. I'm the great shepherd. Not only that, he's the great shepherd and the good shepherd. He said that I am the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the true vine. And what that's saying is Christ is all and in all. And if his people are in Christ, we have it all. We have it all. But he is the way, and he is the only way. And Acts 14:12 says, neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men where we must be saved. But the way to God says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. It is by his person, his work, his sacrifice, and his blood that he honored the law of God, and he enabled God to be just and justifier to those that believe in him. There's something that I would like to read before I quit. There's some verses that blesses my heart so much because there's a lot of times out at my mouth there, and there's things that happens to me, and I can repeat the words of God. I can repeat the promises because I know they're true, and I know they're going to happen, and they bring me peace in my heart. But he says, be careful, Philip 4:6. He says, be careful, but that word careful, it means anxious or troubled. But he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request made known unto God. And then I like what Joshua said over there. He said, be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, for thy God is with thee wherever thou go. And a verse that describes our Lord so well, and listen to this real close. Just one verse, it has so much in it that describes our Lord. It says, but thou, O Lord, are a God that he's full of compassion. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. And he's plenteous in mercy and truth. And we are so blessed. God has placed us in Christ. You know, the Bible says that life, this is a record that God has given us. Life is in his Son. And we have to believe that God's word is absolute truth. He said that life is in his Son, and he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And he says, these things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life if you believe on the name of the Son of God. I thank him for that. You're dismissed.